You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Real ghost stories from real people. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
Imagine, if you will, a life marked from the very beginning by shadows. Shadows of loss, of tragedy, and of something unseen. Tammy was born under circumstances her family still describes as miraculous. Her arrival followed not one but two devastating losses. And while her mother found solace in Tammy's survival, whispers of the past never quite left the family in peace. From an early age, Tammy felt it. A presence she couldn't explain. A sense that she wasn't truly alone. Her childhood was marked by fleeting moments of unease. Shadows moving just out of sight. A coldness that couldn't be explained. Yet, as many of us do, she brushed it aside, chalking it up to the overactive imagination of a child growing up in a creaky old house. But Tammy's story doesn't stay within the safe confines of childhood fears. When she left home for a study abroad program halfway around the world, she thought she'd left the strange feelings behind. Little did she know her past, and perhaps something far darker, had followed her. A chance encounter with a group of friends led her to a decision she would come to regret, participating in a late-night seance. What began as a skeptical experiment soon became an experience that would haunt her for the rest of her life. Was Tammy merely confronting her own fears? Or was there something else at work, something tied to the tragedies her family had endured long before she was born? The answers remain elusive, but the events she recounts raise unsettling questions about what might be waiting for us in the shadows. Let's get to the letter. Tammy writes, "Dear Tony, first, thank you for giving me the chance to share my story. I've carried it for so long, replaying it in my mind, questioning what was real and what might have been imagined. Writing it to you feels like finally letting some of it go, though I'll admit part of me is afraid that even retelling it will stir something up again. I was born on May 5th, a date my mother says is etched into her memory for both joy and sorrow. My arrival was complicated, a traumatic labor that nearly claimed both our lives. I wasn't supposed to make it, she always says, but I did. I think that's where the story really begins, though at the time I was too young to understand why my birth carried so much weight. Growing up, my grandmother, Nona, would talk about those ones with a kind of reverence, like they were always nearby. My mother had lost two pregnancies before me, one early and the other at 4 months. They're safe in heaven, Nona would tell me. God's looking after them. As a restless child, the idea of siblings I couldn't see or visit confused me. It scared me. My child's mind couldn't grasp why they were gone, yet still somehow felt present. I remember asking once, if they're in heaven, are they still like they were? Do they stay the same forever? Nona, never one to sugarcoat things, nodded. Yes, they are as they were. That answer didn't comfort me. I couldn't tell her the truth, that I wasn't afraid of meeting my brother, but was terrified of seeing the one who wasn't fully formed. At 7 or 8, I didn't have the words to explain how that thought kept me awake at night. As I grew older, those feelings didn't disappear. They just hid under the surface. My house, a tall, drafty Victorian on the edge of town, didn't help matters. It creaked and groaned in ways I told myself were normal, but sometimes at night, It felt alive. Shadows would shift where they shouldn't. My bedroom would grow cold even in the height of summer. I'd wake up feeling like I wasn't alone. My rational side told me it was all in my head, but deep down I wasn't so sure. When I was 20, I jumped at the chance to join a study abroad program in Australia. It felt like a fresh start, an escape from the lingering unease that had followed me since childhood. I made fast friends, including two younger cousins who lived nearby, a group of Australian students, and a girl named Ga, who claimed to have powers. At first, I laughed it off. She was always talking about spirits and seances, and while it made for entertaining conversation, I didn't take it seriously. Still, there was something about her that made me uneasy. She had a way of looking at you like she knew things she couldn't possibly know. I avoided her invitations to her seances for months, but one night, after a little too much wine and a lot of peer pressure, I gave in. We were in a secluded area, far from the city lights, surrounded by tall eucalyptus trees that seemed to close in around us. I told myself it was just a game, a harmless way to pass the time. But from the moment the seance began, I knew I'd made a mistake. Ga started chanting in a language I didn't recognize, her voice low and rhythmic. The others followed her lead, their voices blending into a haunting melody. At first, I felt silly sitting there, holding hands in a circle. But then the air around us seemed to change. It grew colder, heavier, like something unseen was pressing down on us. I tried to ignore it, but I couldn't shake the feeling that we weren't alone. When it was my turn to ask a question, I kept it light. "Will I ever return home after my studies?" I said, forcing a laugh to mask my nerves. But as the session continued, I started to feel wrong. My stomach churned, my skin felt clammy, and a strange, numbing cold spread through my limbs. Ka's voice grew distant, like she was speaking through water. I wanted to leave, but I was frozen in place, unable to move or speak, and then everything went dark. When I came to, my cousin Helen was shaking me, her face pale with fear. I felt disoriented, like I'd been asleep for hours, but the seance was still going on. I asked what had happened, and her answer sent a chill down my spine. "You started talking," she said, her voice trembling. "But it wasn't you. You kept saying, 'No, no, stop.' And then you said something about May, June, and January." May was the month of my birth, June and January. Those were the months my mother had lost the pregnancies. There was no way Helen could have known that. I felt my stomach drop when Helen told me about the dates. It wasn't just that she'd repeated them. It was the way she said it, like the words themselves had scared her. I tried to brush it off, to laugh nervously and say, "That's strange." But inside I was shaking. I didn't remember saying anything during the seance. In fact, I didn't remember much at all after I'd asked my question. I tried to convince myself it was nothing, a mix of nerves and suggestion. But that night, as I lay in bed, I couldn't sleep. Every sound in the house seemed amplified. The creak of the floorboards, the rustle of leaves outside the window, and then there was the cold. It crept in slowly, settling over me like a heavy blanket. I pulled the covers tighter, but it didn't help. I had the distinct feeling I wasn't alone. I didn't see anything that night, but I felt it, a presence, watching, waiting. It wasn't just in my head. I could feel it in my chest, like a weight pressing down. When I finally drifted off, my dreams were vivid and unsettling. I was back in the circle, but the faces around me were gone. In their place were two shadows, one larger and protective, the other smaller and incomplete. They didn't speak, but I felt their intentions. The larger shadow stood between me and something else, something darker that I couldn't see. I woke up drenched in sweat, my heart racing. The days that followed were no better. Objects in my dorm room seemed to move on their own. My hairbrush would be on the desk one moment and on the bed the next. Doors creaked open and shut when there was no breeze. And the cold followed me everywhere, clinging to me like a second skin. I tried to talk to my friends about it, but they either laughed it off or avoided the topic entirely. Only Ga seemed to take me seriously. "You brought something back with you," she said one afternoon. her voice low and serious. It's attached to you now. What does that even mean? I asked, trying to keep my voice steady. How do I get rid of it? Gah hesitated before answering. Not everything that follows you has good intentions. Some spirits are protective, but others... She trailed off, her expression dark. Others are angry. I wanted to believe she was wrong, that this was all some elaborate trick. But deep down I knew she was right. Whatever was happening, it wasn't in my head. I could feel it, and it was getting stronger. A week later, I finally broke. After another sleepless night filled with dreams of shadows and whispers, I begged God to help me. She agreed, but warned me that it wouldn't be easy. You have to be willing to face it, she said. If you're not, it won't leave. That night, we performed a cleansing ritual in the same field where the seance had taken place. It was just the two of us, surrounded by darkness and the sound of the wind in the trees. Gah lit candles and burned sage, chanting softly as she worked. I stood in the center of the circle, my heart pounding in my chest. The air felt thick, almost suffocating. As the ritual progressed, I started to feel that same coldness creeping over me. My vision blurred, and for a moment I thought I was going to pass out. But then, the shadows appeared again. They were clearer this time, two figures, one larger and one smaller. The larger one seemed to shield me from the other, its form solid and steady. The smaller one was different, its shape fragmented and incomplete. It didn't move, but I could feel its anger, its frustration. Gah's voice grew louder, her chants filling the air. The shadows began to fade, but before they disappeared completely, the larger one turned to me. I didn't hear its words, but I felt them deep in my chest. Not all who follow come with good intent. And then they were gone. The ritual left me drained, both physically and emotionally. I didn't know what to make of what I'd seen. Were they my siblings, as Gaha suggested? Or was it something else entirely? I wanted to believe the larger shadow was my brother watching over me. But the smaller one? I couldn't shake the feeling that it wasn't. Whatever it was, it felt wrong, like it didn't belong. After that night, the activity lessened. The cold spots disappeared, and I stopped hearing whispers in the dark. But the dreams didn't go away. I still see the shadows sometimes, standing at the edge of my vision, watching me. I don't think they'll ever truly leave. I've learned to live with it, though I'll never join another seance again. Some doors, once opened, can't be closed completely. And some things I've come to realize are better left undisturbed. Thank you for listening, Tony. Sharing this has been harder than I expected, but also strangely freeing. I only hope that by telling my story, I can finally put some of it to rest. Sincerely, Tammy. Tammy's story is a chilling reminder of the weight that our pasts and perhaps even the unseen can carry. From the very start, her life was marked by loss, and it seems that loss followed her in ways she couldn't have anticipated. Was the presence she felt a connection to her siblings lingering beyond this world? Or was it something darker, drawn to her vulnerability and the tragedy that shaped her early years? Psychologically, it's tempting to consider how deeply the mind can be influenced by grief and suggestion. Tammy's difficult birth, the stories from her grandmother, and her mother's unspoken sorrow could have created an emotional undercurrent that made her more sensitive to fear and unease. The human brain has an extraordinary ability to create patterns, especially in the face of the unknown. And it's possible that what Tammy experienced was her subconscious trying to reconcile those feelings. But what about the details, the months of May, June, and January? The cold that seemed to follow her? The shadows others witnessed during the seance? These elements defy simple explanation. Skeptics might call it coincidence, but the specificity of the events Tammy described raises questions about whether something truly otherworldly was at play. From a paranormal perspective, stories like Tammy's often hinge on the idea of lingering spirits, entities tied to people or places through trauma, love, or unfinished business. Could it be that Tammy's siblings, who never had a chance to fully enter the world, remain connected to her in some way? And if so, why did one seem protective while the other exuded anger? Were they even her siblings at all, or something else entirely masquerading as them? These are the questions that keep us looking over our shoulders at night. One thing is clear. Tammy's story doesn't offer easy answers. It leaves us with an unsettling truth about the unknown, that not all doors are meant to be opened, and when they are, we might not be prepared for what steps through. Whether you lean towards psychological explanations or believe in the supernatural, Tammy's experience challenges us to consider the boundaries between this world and the next. Are we ever truly alone? Or do the shadows around us hold more than just darkness? Until next time, stay curious and stay cautious. You never know what might be waiting in the shadows.
Want more real ghost stories from real people? Then press subscribe now. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.